Now, we might think of youthful indiscretion as the times when we stray from our parents' wise ways, but sometimes it's a parent leading us to folly. Sylvana Clark is a writer and speaker in Bellingham, and she brings us this story.
When I was 11, my mother had me quite well trained for a certain job, but then she fired me from this job. She fired me because I was not cooperating in her shoplifting escapades. We had this whole system where she would go in a grocery store, and my job was to stand at the far end of the shopping cart, kind of facing her, because that way she could put steaks and expensive items into her purse, and if someone's coming down the aisle, they don't see her because I'm there. Then when her purse was totally full, my two brothers were probably 4 and 6. She would tell them, run out of the store really fast, run out really fast, I'll get you candy, and race. So they were very loud, so they would go, I'm going out the store, I'm out the store, and they would run out, and of course my mother would say, come back here boys, and she would run out like she's chasing them, and of course her purse is just full of steaks and all sorts of things. She'd put it in the car, and then she'd come back and buy her potatoes or whatever. She was even stealing television sets, mink coats, clothes. I mean, this was big time. And we had our plans of who said what and where we would go. You know, I knew it was wrong, but it was such, when you went to the store, that's just what you did. But what I started doing was when I'm at the end of the shopping cart, I would flap my arms kind of up and down and make weird noises like, oh, blah, 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 blah. And so people would kind of look, and then that would just irritate my mother because she knew I was drawing attention to her. She still kept doing it on her own, but not when we were around because she knew I couldn't be trusted. She was always mean to me. I mean, we didn't have a good relationship. You know, it was always, you're stupid, you're ugly, you know, I don't want you around, I wish you weren't in our family. And so this was one way I kind of had a little control where I thought, okay, if I make some noise, that lady over there by the potatoes might look over and would see my mom putting the steaks in the purse and then call the manager. You know, that's how my 11-year-old mind worked. So I thought if I made noise and flapped my arms, it would get attention. You know, I don't want to say I can justify what she did. She grew up in Germany during World War II. So you had to steal, smuggle, be on the black market in order to survive. There just was no other way. Someone told me they call it the hamster mentality, especially with food. They never had enough food. And so even when we came back to the United States, she still had that feeling of there's not going to be enough food. Like when she would cook, there would be just enough. We never had a leftover in our life. There were no snacks. I mean, why would you need a snack? You had breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Be thankful for that. And sometimes dinner would be boiled potatoes, but, you know, be happy for that. Why do you need vegetables and meat and a dessert? So she never lost that mentality of what can I do to survive? And my dad was an engineer at Boeing. I mean, it's not that we needed the money. We had a middle class life, but it was still ingrained in her, how can I beat the system? So she finally got mad because I would do these little obscure things to get her arrested because that was kind of my goal. So she did, you know, what any mother would do to an 11-year-old. She put me on an airplane and sent me off to live with relatives that I had never met in Germany. When I got on the plane, she gave me this school bag and she said, now there's cigarettes in here and there's a couple books on top. So if anyone asks what's in here, I want you to tell them it's all your school books to do homework. Don't tell them it's cigarettes, because somehow she thought that would be smuggling. But the Germans at that time, they were crazy for American cigarettes. And of course, back then there was no security, no TSA, you just did it. So I had my little bag of my cartons of cigarettes and I got to Germany, flew there by myself. And there were some people and they said, Sylvana, Sylvana. So I went over there and that was my relatives. And they all spoke German, but they were nice to me. And I thought, you know, my mom really has never been nice to me. And here's some people and they're smiling and they patted me on the shoulder. So I was feeling really good. Well, the next morning, my Aunt Hannah she had me get dressed. She, you know, motioned to put my jacket on, and we got in the car and drove for quite a ways. And she didn't speak any English. Again, I didn't speak German. So it was like being on a first date with a foreign exchange student. You know, we kind of smiled and said things. And we got to an army base, pulled up, and this nice little soldier comes out and he says, "Good morning, can I help you?" And my aunt looks at him and goes, "PX, PX, PX." And he said, "Oh, so you're going to the PX." And he looked at me and he said, "So you're going to the PX." I had no idea what a PX was, but everybody was smiling. So I said, "Yes, PX." We get to the PX and start walking up to the door. And my aunt hands me this wallet with a lot of cash in it and what looks like a shopping list. And she'd drawn pictures of cartons of cigarettes. And it said 3 Pall Mall, 4 Winston, Viceroy, whatever the cigarette brands were. So I still wasn't sure what was going on, but she showed me the list. She gave me the money, and I kind of figured I was supposed to buy something. I still didn't know what the PX was. So she took me up really close to the door. And this nice looking family, you know, mom and dad and two little kids were going through the door, and the mom and dad are showing their ID, and my aunt just kind of shoves me through as they went through. And so I'm inside the PX and I go, "Oh, it's like a grocery store." And everybody was speaking English, and I thought, this is nice. So I went up to a clerk and I said, "I need to buy these things here, these cigarettes." And she's, "Oh, over there, back behind the counter, whatever." So I went back there and I had my little shopping cart and I filled my 12 cartons of cigarettes, went up to the counter, paid the money, and walked out. There was nothing unusual about an 11-year-old buying 12 cartons of cigarettes. So I get outside, my aunt sees the stuff and she's going, "Guns good, guns good." And she's so happy. And I'm thinking, I made her happy and she's nice. And I start walking to the car. Well, she stops me and goes, "No, no, no, no." And she pulls me behind the bushes. And so now I'm thinking, what's going on? So she takes off. I had a light blue hat. She took off my light blue hat and she started braiding my hair because it was kind of frizzy and just all over. So she started braiding my hair and she pulled out 2 red pre-tied bows, which she put at the end of my braids. She took off my dark blue jacket and she gave me a green jacket. She took off my black scarf and gave me this pink scarf, and then she put a black beret on my head. Because you see, this was my disguise. I could now go back in the PX and buy 12 more cartons of cigarettes. Because see, I didn't know my aunt was very active in the German black market. And one of the hottest commodities was American cigarettes. So we got home and my aunt gets on the phone and she's just making one call after another, and they only last like 15 seconds, these phone calls. And pretty soon people are knocking on the door and they're coming to pick up their cigarettes. And within 10 minutes, we'd sold all 24 cartons of cigarettes. I'll tell you, still to this day, there are times I'm in a grocery store or a department store and I'm not inclined to steal. But I look around and I think, oh, it would be so easy to just for the fun, even I don't wear perfume, but that bottle of perfume is right there. There's no one looking. I could get that bottle of perfume and walk out the door. Oh, that would be great. So that thrill seeking is still in me. As far as life lessons, I think, yeah, it's just to kind of push the boundaries and see what you can get away with, which I've done all my life and still, you know, I've never been arrested or anything, but to just push the limits a little bit.